Brady Saar, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services, Erskine. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Monday morning farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman reporting from the National Farmers Union Convention in Oklahoma City, along with Don Wick and Randy Conan in studio. Reports from the National Farmers Union Convention are presented by North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota Farmers Unions and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. In a significant move to bolster agricultural innovation and enhance the economic success of family farmers and ranchers, the National Farmers Union announcing the launch of a Farmers Capital Fund, the $25 million investment initiative aims to support early and growth stage companies that drive agricultural productivity and sustainability. National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue said the Farmers Capital Fund seeks to advance cutting-edge technology, operational efficiencies, and market expansion opportunities that will directly benefit farmers.
This is part of an ongoing effort that Farmers Union leaders have had for a long time to make sure that we are continually investing back into our communities, investing back into our members in ways that are going to improve their operations. Having a capital fund that is both going to be ultimately investing in technology and products that will benefit our members, it also has the added benefit of a very positive returns back to the organization to grow our capacity here at National Farmers Union.
The fund will be administered in collaboration with Open Prairie, a well-respected leader in agricultural investment. It'll focus on key sectors such as ag tech, automation, conservation, efficiency, and value-added food production. Jim Schultz is founder of Open Prairie, and he emphasized the fund's mission to drive growth in rural America.
Open Prairie's been around for 25 years doing investment in agricultural opportunities, and we're proud to have National Farmers Union and some of the member states as having been partners with us for almost 10 years now. And this new fund is an opportunity, as Rob pointed out, to put money to work in rural America. That's where we live, breathe, and where we think there's so much underserved opportunity. And providing services to farmers, ranchers, and producers that may not have that opportunity because things aren't coming to Main Street. So our focus is Main Street and agricultural opportunities, both in technology and in services and new ideas that might be beneficial.
Schultz highlighted that Open Prairie has structured deals so that participating farmers can receive equity stakes in companies whose technologies they help to implement.
As an example, let's say that it's a new biologic that's put on the field, and we ask them to put it on 10 of their acres. They might get $5,000 of stock as part of their compensation for doing that. So they have upside above and beyond maybe having a good product on their field. So if they're an early adopter, they should get some benefit from that.
LaRue said the idea for the Farmers Capital Fund began over a year ago when NFU leadership approached Open Prairie to explore ways to drive innovation in agriculture.
This to me feels like one of the answers to that by us directly putting our dollars back into technologies that go back into those communities. We're helping to get those answers to solutions in the future.
Reports from the National Farmers Union Convention are presented by North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota Farmers Unions and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Reporting from Oklahoma City, I'm Jamie Dickerman. Now with more news, here's Don Wick.
Thanks, Jamie. North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney is emphasizing the importance of passing a strong farm bill, including key safety net programs.
We need to enhance the ARC payments and the PLC payments. We need to raise our reference prices. We just get another coverage, and then there's some enhancements to crop insurance we could do. Most of us here support maintaining a pretty strong SNAP program. That's key to getting this thing passed. So it's a little frustrating watching them put some major cuts forward that are likely to stall the implementation of a new farm bill.
Beyond the farm bill, Watney is also concerned about trade policy and its long-term impact on North Dakota farmers.
In North Dakota, we're actually hit the hardest of all the states because we export so much of our crops, and we do lose. There's no debate here. We will lose in agriculture. And even a lot of people say, well, a little bit comes back. It does not come back. Those countries that we start a war with go elsewhere and start building partnerships with other suppliers. China's building in Brazil, helping them with infrastructure. They're building down in Africa, buying land. Now you're going to have Canada and Mexico starting to search. And at the end of the day, we're going to have less demand for our products, which is going to cause us to have lower prices into the future.
The Red River Farm Network coverage from the National Farmers Union Convention in Oklahoma City, made possible by the Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota Farmers Union and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. As the National Farmers Union Convention continues, ranchers like David Reese from Lyman County, South Dakota, are voicing concerns over industry uncertainty.
Cattle prices are good, and it is carrying probably the rest of the ag economy, you know, but in South Dakota, we're real diversified. And just because we're doing good doesn't mean my neighbor is. And I like to think of agriculture as an ecosystem. If we all do good, we all do good. But if some of us are hurting, it's going to affect us. It might not show up on your bottom line on your bank account right away, but it will come around and get you eventually, one way or another.
Reese stressed the challenges of market volatility and uncertainty surrounding tariffs.
It's like I tell the boys when we're putting up hay every year and it gets to be toward fall and they ask if we got enough to get through the winter. I said, I'll tell you in the spring. There's no way of knowing how this stuff is going to affect us. I mean, the uncertainty is the worst part. He makes announcements, the president does, and the market reflect it. They go up and down accordingly. So it's hard to say. It might be good for us, might not, but just on history from his last administration, it didn't work out real well.
On Thursday, President Donald Trump announced a 30-day pause on tariffs for all products from Canada and Mexico. A day later, Trump ventured back into that tariff talk.
Canada has been ripping us off for years on tariffs for lumber and for dairy products. 250%, nobody ever talks about that, 250% tariff, which is taking advantage of our farmers, so that's not going to happen anymore.
Trump said these tariffs could take effect this week. However, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick was on Meet the Press this weekend and said the tariffs won't be imposed until April 2nd. That's when tariffs for all other products kick in as well. The International Dairy Foods Association released a statement saying it is accurate that Canada imposes a tariff of approximately 250% on U.S. dairy products. IDFA said it is grateful the White House wants to hold Canada accountable for its protectionist trade policy, but urged the two sides to negotiate a resolution as soon as possible. The dairy group said a prolonged trade war will create more uncertainty for American farmers.
China's new tariffs on U.S. ag products takes effect today. Soybeans, beef, dairy, and pork products face an additional 10% tariff. Wheat and corn are among the commodities with a 15% tariff. The retaliatory tariffs are designed to hurt President Trump's voter base in rural America.
House leadership has released a stopgap spending measure to keep the government operating through the end of September. A vote will need to happen this week to avoid a government shutdown. The 99-page bill includes additional funding for USDA to prevent families in line for the SNAP program from being waitlisted, and more money for food safety inspection.
Another warm day on tap today, but it'll be spoiled by very strong winds. National Weather Service saying a cold front will usher in wind gusts of up to 65 miles an hour. Once the system moves through, the winds will die down quickly this afternoon and evening. Weather is expected to take a turn later this week. A winter storm possible Friday and Saturday, but the path of that storm system not yet certain.
Farmers at the National Farmers Union Convention expressing concern over market uncertainty and policy stability. Lance Perrin, a third-generation farmer from Ipswich, South Dakota, says it's frustrating to stay on top of it all.
It's hard to know what to do. You hear the news report on Red River every day. You know, every hour it changes. Whether it's political stuff from D.C. or national news. You know, trades coming in doing different things. Yeah, it's hard to know what to do for inputs and where to be. But you try and just ride it out a little bit and see. You know, luckily we're early enough in the season. You know, we're in springtime, so get the crop in the ground, see what happens, and let some of this sort out a little.
Perron said he is worried about policy shifts and staffing issues in the government offices.
We've seen a big turnover in staffing, you know, on the federal level, and that's something that, you know, National Farmers Union has worked for in our local FSA offices and USDA, is to keep those offices open and keep them local and keep them staffed, and now we've got a big turnover in staff there. So, you know, we want to keep that service to farmers, whatever does happen, you know, if there's programs that come out, we got to get those delivered to the farmers for them to work.
Once again, continuing coverage from the National Farmers Union Convention underway in Oklahoma City. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. At an event with investment bankers, Bayer says it needs regulatory clarity or it may stop selling glyphosate. Reuters reporting Bayer has also lobbied Congress for legal protection against product liability lawsuits. That's after the company paid $10 billion to settle lawsuits over Roundup, and thousands of cases are still pending.
The Modern Ag Alliance is advocating for the farmers' ability to use crop protection products. Elizabeth Burns Thompson is CEO.
So we are an entity composed of about 95 farm entities, farm organizations, think the commodity groups, your agribusiness associations, state farm bureaus, and many of their federal counterparts as well. The focus of the organization, or what brought all these groups together, really was a recognition that there's a threat on the forefront regarding crop protection tools, these chemistries, and the availability of them. And so these groups came together and said, we're going to start drawing a line in the sand and ensure that we have the clarity we need to keep these tools available.
The Modern Ag Alliance is working on state legislation in a dozen different states. Its bill passed unanimously in the North Dakota House and is on its way to the state Senate. A new survey from the Modern Ag Alliance confirms broad support for continued access to these tools. 81% of the voters in North Dakota and 70% in Minnesota oppose litigation that could limit the access.
At the end of the day, voters support farmers, and they want their lawmakers to support farmers, and that they see that this is a real threat if we continue to have this level of litigation targeting our critical tools, that's potentially disastrous for agriculture, and they want their lawmakers to stand up, which is incredibly important.
Property tax reform bills will be heard today in Bismarck. There are multiple bills making changes in North Dakota's tax policy this session. The legislative session has moved past the halfway point.
Checking markets, Minneapolis wheat 3.5 higher for the May contract, 5.96 1/4 is the quote. Chicago wheat for May 8 higher, and hard red winter wheat May 7.25 higher. May's corn 4.72, 2.75 better, a penny gain for new crop corn. Soybeans the other direction. We're down 1.25 for the May contract at 10.23 3/4. November new crop soybeans down by 1.5 cents. Checking the farm calendar, Transportation Go is hosted by the Specialty Soya and Grains Alliance. That'll be Wednesday and Thursday in Minneapolis. Again, the annual event with commodity groups, traders, shippers of specialty crops, Transportation Go, coming to Minneapolis this week. And the Getting It Right in Canola Production webinar will be held on Friday. You can contact NDSU Extension for more details. Have yourself a great Monday, a great week. This is the Red River Farm Network.